Will the members please vote to signify their presence? All members voted. Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 18 senators present this morning. Senator Dankrich is excused from the call of the Senate, and today Senator Anderson and Senator Sackett are excused after 11 a.m.
Stand invocation by Reverend Plunt. Rabbi Plunt.
Mr. President, senators, before invoking the blessing of the deity, this is a very special day for not only Christians but Jews. This is the Lord's Passover, which is recounted in the book of Exodus. And the Passover is synonymous with the word of the Last Supper, at which time Christ came to Jerusalem to observe and participate in the Last Supper of Passover Seder. The prayer will be a very brief prayer, which will be in the ancient Aramaic tongue spoken 2,000 years ago, transliterated into English. Let us praise God with this symbol of joy and thank Him for the blessings which this feast of Passover brings to us. May we feel that true freedom means to serve God by ennobling ourselves and serving our fellow men. Baruch Ator Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehiyanu V'Imanu V'Higiyanu Lazman Hazeh, which means in English, praise be thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, and permitted us to celebrate this joyous festival. Amen.
Senator Parr.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to prepare every spell and adjourn.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary certifies correctness of the Daily Journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 87th legislative day and Senate Supplement number 26.
Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 87th day and Senate Supplement number 26 be approved as certified.
No objections, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction this morning?
Yes, Mr.
Senator Ray.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today I have a group of young students from Mr. Shetford's ninth grade civics class at Floyd Dryden Junior High School. And when I call your names, even though I mispronounce them and you can chuckle about it, would you please stand up? Chris Lane, Dave Pelinius, Wayne Willis, Jimmy Ramos, Tyrone Jackson, Dennis Erisman, Jeff Brink, Chris Palm, Don Wilson, Tracy McPherson, Joy Morant, Heather Kirkevold, Val Manuel, Bill Knott, Anna Marie Balcom, Barbara Leahy, Suzanne Burroughs, Tevia Sievertson, Marilyn Grant, Terry Caldavini, Kim Bunnell, and Mr. Tetford.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, we are fortunate to have a group of close-up students with us today in a far gallery. I'd like to have them rise as I call their name, and I'll try to do a good job of pronunciation, hopefully slightly better than Senator Ray. First, from Juneau, is with their teacher, Beth Bellflower, is Terry Brown, Deanna Garcia, and Allison Cooper. From the lower Yukon, I'm sorry. It's Allison Cropper. From the lower Yukon, with their teacher Jim Carden, Olga Stepanoff, Janet Hunt, Frida Waska, and Lewis Edmond. From the Northwest District, Nancy Trujillo, David Evac, and Alfred Carmen. From the North Slope District, with their teacher, Jay Sauer, is Dan Leinberger, Ellen Akpik, and Rosanna Adams. And lastly, but not least, from the Lake and Peninsula District is Lydia Olympic. Welcome to the Senate.
Are there messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
Messages from the House?
Message of April 8. The House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 549, financed by the Finance Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Administration for a cost analysis of alternative designs for the State Health Communications Network and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
Message of March 17, the House has passed committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 145, State Affairs, with the following amendment. On page 1, line 20, delete 1982, insert 1983, and CS for Senate Bill Number 145, SA, effective date amended House, is transmitted for consideration.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move that the Senate concur with the House amendments to Senate Bill 145 and request the Senate to vote yes.
Question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 145? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close roll.
The roll shows 18 yeas, one excused, one absent.
Senate has concurred.
Those are the messages.
Just a question, Chairman, Mr. President. When we have effective dates, particularly those in the future that are important, do you wish a separate vote on that or a motion from the Majority Leader?
It is an interesting question, Senator Rohde, because when we adopted unanimously the amendments proposed by the House, they do include the effective date. I don't see any reason that we have to adopt the effective date, but since there might be a question, I think probably we ought to do so.
Do you wish a separate motion on that?
Please
by
do
unanimous
that.
Consent or a
just
vote?
Unanimous consent.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on Senate Bill 145 be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
There being no objection, is so ordered. Just being conservative on that issue. Are there communications?
There are no communications today.
Reports of standing committees.
The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 38, requesting Congress to appropriate money to the Small Business Administration, and recommends be passed. Signed, Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring Senators Ziegler, Anderson, Rohde, and Fahrenkamp. SJR 38 has no further referral.
To the Rules Committee.
Labor and Commerce considered Senate Bill Number 539, Telephone Cooperatives, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute and a majority do pass. Signed, do pass, Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, Senators Anderson, Rohde, and Ziegler. Senator Fahrenkamp signed, no recommendation. SB 539 has a further referral to State Affairs. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 621, providing tax credits for employers of persons over 60 years of age, and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute with a new title and do pass. Signing do pass, Senator Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Stimson, Bradley, and Coletta. SB 621 has a further referral to Finance. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 686, Return of Property Recovered or Seized by Law Enforcement Agencies or Acquired as Evidence in a Criminal Proceeding, and a majority of the committee recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title, a new fiscal note. Signed, Senator Rohde, Chairman, concurring Senators Parr, Anderson, and Ray. SB 686 has a further referral to Finance. Labor and Commerce considered Senate Bill Number 749, Equity Participation, and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring Senators Rohde, Ziegler, and Fahrenkamp. Senator Anderson signed a recommendation. SB 749 has no further referral.
To the Rules Committee.
Labor and Commerce considered Senate Bill Number 750, deregulation of interest rates, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title, and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring Senators Rohde, Ziegler, and Fahrenkamp. Senator Anderson signed no recommendation. SB 750 has a further referral to Finance. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 827 relating to refunds, retirements, and benefit in the teachers, judicial, National Guard, and public employees' retirement systems, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title, and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Bradley and Stimson. Senator Coletta signed no recommendation. SB 827 has a further referral to Labor and Commerce. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill Number 841, insurance policy provisions on policy loans and reinstatement of policies, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring Senator Fahrenkamp and Senator Ziegler. Senators Rohde and Anderson signed no recommendation. SB 841 has a further referral to Judiciary. Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 871, relocation of utility facilities incident to the construction of highway projects, and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Gilman, Chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson, Ziegler, and Sturgeliski. SB 871 has a further referral to Transportation. The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 881, sale of royalty oil by the State of Alaska to the Tesoro Alaska Petroleum Company, and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senators Gilman, Mulcahy, Sturgeliski, Eliason, and Fisher. SB 881 has a further referral to Finance. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 457, CNRA, making a special appropriation for the Chiniga Village relocation, and recommends that be replaced with the committee substitute a new title, and reports it back as follows. Senator Gilman, Chairman, signed no recommendation, signing due pass with Senators Ferguson, Ziegler, and Sturgeliski. House Bill 457 has a further referral to Finance. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 524, LNC, relating to small loans, and recommends that it be replaced with the Senate committee substitute, and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring Senator Rohde and Senator Ziegler. Senators Anderson and Fahrenkamp signed no recommendation. HB 524 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered House Bill Number 597 amended, sale of food, and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Parr, Chairman, concurring Senators Stimson and Fisher. HB 597 amended has no further referral.
The Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered the following and recommend that they be placed on the April 8th calendar. SB 693, repealing the termination date of Chapter 160 Session Laws 1980 relating to Supreme Court authority over court facilities. SSSB 778, vocational rehabilitation programs providing for the operation of vending facilities on public property. SB 822, relating to the practice of dentistry, continuing the existence of the Board of Dental Examiners. Signed, Senator Kelly, Chairman, concurring Senator Ziegler and Ferguson. These do appear on today's calendars. Those are the standing committee reports today.
Might we stand at ease, Mr. President?
Yeah, of course, son. We'll be at ease. There are no reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Are there resolutions for introduction?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 85 by the State Affairs Committee, requesting the President of the United States to propose a freeze on nuclear weapons, the transfer of funds used for nuclear weapons to be used for peaceful non-nuclear uses, and nuclear disarmament by all nations.
State Affairs.
That is the only new resolution.
The bill is for first reading and reference.
Senate Bill Number 885 by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, an act relating to dedication of revenues to the Alaska Permanent Fund and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
That is the only new bill today.
First bill on the calendar is Senate Bill 693. Will the Secretary read the bill?
Senate Bill number 693 by the Judiciary Committee, an act repealing the termination date of Chapter 160, Session Laws 1980, relating to Supreme Court authority over court facilities and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Rohde, Chairman, and Senator Parr signed do pass. Senator Ray signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title and do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Sackett, Stimson, Sturgiewski, Eliason, and Ferguson. There is a committee substitute.
Committee substitute, Mr. Finance Chairman.
Move and ask unanimous consent to adopt the Finance Committee substitute.
Objection, so ordered. Secretary read the title.
CS for Senate Bill number 693, financed by the Finance Committee, an act changing the termination date of the law, giving the Supreme Court authority over court facilities and providing for an effective date. There are no amendments.
The absence of further amendments, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 693 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place for final passage.
Objection, so ordered. Secretary read the bill.
CS for Senate Bill number 693, Finance, an act changing the termination date of the law, giving the Supreme Court authority over court facilities and providing for an effective date.
Senate Bill 693 is before you for discussion and debate. Are you ready for the question?
The
question's been called for. The question is, shall committee substitute Senate Bill 693 pass the Senate? May proceed to vote. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Secretary, close rule.
The roll shows.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 2 nays.
Senate Bill 693 has passed the Senate. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
I think there might be two effective date clauses if I'm looking at the right. No, there is one. Without objection, so ordered. With apologies. Rules, Chairman. You wishing at ease? We'll be at ease. The next item on the daily calendar, sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 778. Secretary, read the bill. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 778 be placed at the bottom of today's calendar.
No objection. So ordered. Next item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 822. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Bill number 822 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the practice of dentistry, continuing the existence of the Board of Dental Examiners, and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute with a new title and a new zero fiscal note. Signed, Senator Parr, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Fisher, and Stimson. There's committee substitute.
Senator, you have the floor, Senator.
Move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the committee substitute and the title change.
Is there objection? You have the floor, Senator Sturgiewski.
I'd like a comment as to there were a number of changes made to the Practice Act, and I'd just like Senator Parr, if he could, to explain why we're just talking about the extension and not some changes.
You have the floor, Senator Parr.
The changes, of course, are the repealers in the bill, and they all do really one thing. They say that unlicensed dentists may no longer practice in the state. We had in the statutes a provision which said that for certain rural areas of the state, unlicensed dentists could practice, and the repealers all deal with taking that part out. That's all they did.
Objection is removed. The committee substitute is adopted.
CS for Senate Bill number 822 Hess by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the practice of dentistry and repealing certain statutes relating to permits, continuing the existence of the Board of Dental Examiners, and providing for an effective date. There are no amendments.
Absence of amendments. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 822 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place for final passage.
No objections, so ordered. Will the Secretary read the bill on third reading?
CS for Senate Bill 822 Hess, an act relating to the practice of dentistry and repealing certain statutes relating to permits, continuing the existence of the Board of Dental Examiners, and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion and debate. Question is, shall Senate Bill 822 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 1 nay, 1 excused, and 1 absent.
Senate Bill 822 has passed the Senate. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I have moved the unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered to vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Effective date clause has been adopted. It takes us to committee substitute for Senate Bill 473. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, our old friend needs a bit more work, and I will, with an explanation, move that it go back to Judiciary Committee. Senator Ziegler and I have worked on this. The area that needs some additional work is not the portion of the statute which was changed in the bill, but a portion that relates to condemnation of property. It's very important, or may be very important, to many citizens in the state, and we would like to craft a piece of legislation that will answer some of the concerns that many people have. Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 473 be returned to Judiciary Committee.
There being no objections, so ordered. Takes us to the citation calendar. I'm presuming the amendment still is not here. Mr. Rules, Chairman?
Rather than hold up the bill, I just go ahead with the bill. I can try for the amendment in the other body if necessary.
Senator Eliason?
Mr. President, the citation calendar, I'd like to be shown as a co-sponsor to honoring Alaska Logger Association.
No objection, so ordered. We will then return to sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 778, preceding the citation action. Secretary, read the bill.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 778 by Senators Bradley, Fisher, and Rohde, an act relating to vocational rehabilitation programs providing for the operation of vending facilities on public property. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Fisher, Chairman, concurring, Senator Stimson, and Senator Bradley. Senator Coletta signed, no recommendation. There is a committee substitute.
To the committee substitute, Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the committee substitute, State Affairs. Ask unanimous consent.
No objection. Committee substitutes adopted. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 778, State Affairs, by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to vocational rehabilitation programs providing for the operation of vending facilities on public property. There are no amendments.
The absence of amendments. Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I've been looking here, and I don't know if this is important or not, but it doesn't seem like there's a conformity in the language. In Section 1, it has blind or severely handicapped persons. Section 2, it has blind persons and severely handicapped persons. And Section, on the next page, it goes on, it says blind or, and I just wonder if we want to take a minute or two and put it all in conformity, either have it blind persons and handicapped persons, or blind or handicapped persons, get the language straight and conform.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, this has been discussed before, and it looked to me like it was a very good point, Senator Ray thinks it is now. But after we knocked it around, we found out that it's very appropriate grammatically. It's blind or, say on line 13, for instance, blind or severely handicapped, because there are other severely handicapped other than blind. And when you say blind and are severely handicapped persons, it could mean that blind are severely handicapped, not to include other severely handicapped. But if Senator Ray thinks it should be changed, I don't think it makes that much difference. But I queried it myself initially, but when you really get to studying it, it is grammatically correct.
So what you're saying, it would be blind or blind and severely handicapped in that particular person only, rather than the separation. I understand. Senator Ray, you have floor.
That's not my point. My point is, they say blind or severely handicapped. We know that's blind person, that's one. Severely handicapped is two.
Yes, sir.
Down the next section, it says licensed blind persons and severely handicapped persons, which is the same thing. In other words, the language is, I wonder if there's any reasoning for it, or if there's, or we should put the language in conformity, or you just want to continue the sloppy drafting that we have in the past.
Do you wish in the D's to draft amendments, Senator Ray?
It'll probably take 2 minutes to end.
Without objection, we'll stand D's. There is an amendment.
There is an amendment number one by Senators Ray and Rohde. On page 1, line 13, delete the word or, substitute persons and. Then on page 2, lines 13 and 14, delete the word or, substitute persons and.
There is an objection. Would you like it in context? Senator Gilman.
Jack, just for the purpose of asking the drafters, are we, by putting and between the word blind persons and severely handicapped, is that an all-inclusive statement? Is that an all-inclusive statement? In other words, saying the person has to be blind and severely handicapped before they can have a permit?
No, sir. It's blind persons and severely handicapped persons. That's two. Blind persons, one, and severely handicapped persons, two.
Senator, you have floor?
That's correct. It means not only blind, but other handicapped persons. Not all inclusive for just blind is.
The intent is also recorded if there's a question. Senator A.
If the fear is expressed by my friend from Anchorage area, it would be blind and handicapped, and that would make it together as one person. In other words, it would be blind and handicapped, and they would have to be both blind and handicapped. So when you put the differentiation, blind person, that separates it, and severely handicapped person, that's another area.
Rose, Chairman?
The problem, because if you're a blind person, you are, in fact, severely handicapped. So, actually, you probably don't even need the word blind in there.
The intent is well understood, and it is also on the recording. Senator Bradley?
Mr. President, you do need blind in there because the federal government in the Randolph-Shepard Act gave blind persons a priority for vending facilities on public property. And we in our mini Randolph, generally referred to as mini Randolph Act, which is the existing statute, which will be somewhat changed and added to by this bill, we give priority to them for vending our facilities as well, if you read the whole bill. So you have to differentiate. In case there isn't a blind person that's eligible, then you can put another severely handicapped person that is eligible in that vending facility. The fact that we put persons in there behind blind and persons behind severely handicapped means two, and that clarifies it for everybody.
Objection to unanimous consent has been removed. If there's not further objection, the amendment is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Rules, Chairman?
President, we have a brief at ease, please.
We'll be at ease. You have the floor, Mr. Rules Chairman.
President, I had an amendment drafted, and when it came to my office this morning, it was incorrect. I had to send it back to legal.
and it was supposed to be on its way over. I don't want to hold up the progress of the bill at this point in the session, so I'll go ahead and try to convince someone in the other body that the amendment should be forthcoming. But what my amendment would do would be to make illegal those change machines that rip you off for 5% surtax when you put a dollar in them. And right downstairs in our own Capitol building, we have a change machine that takes a nickel every time you put a dollar in it. Now, frankly, Mr. President, I don't really think when you're offering the space for a change machine and they want to put the change machine there because they're going to get more business, that I think, frankly, it's kind of greedy to take a 5% change tax off the top of a dollar bill. So I'm going to try to work with the other body and get that inserted. If not in this bill, certainly in another bill.
There are no further amendments.
There are no further amendments.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 778 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place for final passage.
Be no objection. So ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 778, State Affairs Amended, an act relating to vocational rehabilitation programs providing for the operation of vending facilities on public property.
Bill is before you for discussion and debate. Question is called for. Question is, shall Senate Bill 778 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his vote, her vote? Secretary will close the roll.
The roll shows 18 yeas, 2 excused.
Senate Bill 778 has passed the Senate. Takes us to the citation calendar. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, before we proceed with the citation calendar, I'd like to bring the attention again, sloppy writing. If you would turn to the second citation, you'll find that third paragraph, next to last word, is put in as one word. It's two words. And the end of the third paragraph, revolutionary, is misspelled. On the next citation, second paragraph, fourth sentence, it must be disbanded, ED, rather than disband. I wish we could again call to the attention of those doing this work that we need to be a little bit more meticulous.
Would the Secretary of the Senate note also in the first citation that it's also been requested by Representative Carney, and that I'm sure it can be done, but since we are discussing citations, I'd like to say there is a line, Betts Brothers Trading Firm, that should be Betts Brothers Trucking Firm. This is for the record, trucking firm. Secretary, read the citations by title.
Citations in memoriam, Martin C. Betts, Mat-Su Valley Area Leader, by Senator Kutula and Representative Carney. Citation honoring President Sandro Pertini, Italian president who recently visited Alaska, by Senators Coletta and Bradley. Citation honoring the Alaska Loggers Association 25th anniversary by Senators Coletta, Ziegler, Sturdalewski, and Eliason. Citation honoring Willow Cash's ladies softball team by Representative Carney and Senator Kurtula. Citation honoring Mat-Su Valley Special Olympics winners by Representative Carney and Senator Kurtula.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be adopted.
Objection. Citation calendar has been adopted. Takes us to unfinished business, or the items under unfinished business. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 634 be waived from the Judiciary Committee. It is a bill we've dealt with previously on community work as a sentence for violation of a misdemeanor. It goes directly to finance. Also, Mr. President, waived from Judiciary would be SB 876 and SB 875 relating to the university. We will draft a letter of intent for the Finance Committee, though.
Be no objection. So ordered. Senator Parr.
Mr. President, on unfinished business, I'd just like to note that members should all have received the report on the Mount Edgecombe High School visit that was made by the Senate Health Committee. If any member did not receive one, they just call my office. We'll sure that they get one.
Thank you. You have the floor, Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Transportation Committee waive House Bill 643. It's an appropriation bill for 1980 appropriations, and it has really nothing of transportation interest. It should go directly to finance.
Without objection, to finance. Senator Fahrenkamp?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we be given permission to waive SR 25 from resources to finance and House Bill 643 from resources to finance. There are more financial matters than ours.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Takes us to announcement of committee meetings. State Affairs Chairman.
Mr. President, State Affairs will meet at 1:30 today. We have three bills on GO bonds and defeasance. Also, Senate Bill 791, expansion of the teleconference network. Senate Bill 833, requiring license for purchase of alcoholic beverages.
You have the floor, Mr. Finance Chairman.
Finance Committee will meet at 8:30 on the 13th of April, taking up House Bill 154, an act relating to financial disclosure. Also be meeting at 8 a.m. on April 15th, taking up SB 745, an act extending the lapse dates for FY82 appropriations. SB 880, an act relating to the sale of royalty oil by the state of Alaska to Doyon. And SB 881, an act relating the sale of royalty oil by the state of Alaska to Tesoro Company.
Mr. DeRay. Transportation Committee will meet at 1:30 in the Butrovich Room and be markup on Senate Bill 212, the railroad aid. Anybody that isn't there gets killed.
Are there items on? You have floor, Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, on Monday, 1 o'clock until 2, Resources Committee will meet in Belt's Room. We'll be taking up Senate Bill 710 relating to the state trust funds and their administration, and SB 806 relating to the issuance of citation for fish and game violations.
Are there items under special orders? Senator Gilman?
Move and ask unanimous consent to have the privilege of the floor to discuss birthdays.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, we've had some discussion the last two or three days on birthdays and had some fun with that. And last night's paper continued that with a poem that the governor had published called Ode to Bill and Jay, I think, or something like that.
He can't help himself.
That is good reading, and I would recommend it to any member in the body. But there is another birthday, and it's April 5th, 25 years ago, 1957. A drilling started in Swanson River oil field, and on July 19th, there will be the 25th birthday of discovery in that field, and it's a fairly important date in our state's history.
Thank you, Senator Gilman. Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call to the Senate on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
Be no objection. Senator Coletta is excused. Senator Parr?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent for the privilege of the floor to address a proposed constitutional amendment.
Senator Parr has the floor, there being no objection.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sure that other members of this body, like I, have been getting a number of messages lately asking us to support HGR 14, which would tell Congress we want the so-called Liberty Amendment passed. There are probably some good things in it, Mr. President, but one thing that's in it also is repeal of the federal income tax. And I just thought, I've done a little digging on this subject because I didn't really know much about it. But I think there are a couple of points that might be of interest to members of the body. 40% of the federal government revenue at present comes from individual income taxes. And so the question would be, if we repeal that, then what gets cut? And the This is a proposed FY83 estimates, by the way. Direct benefit payments to individuals are 43 cents out of every dollar. That's Medicare, Medicaid, veterans' pensions, retirement benefits, Social Security, things of this sort. And next biggest hunk is national defense, 29%, 29 cents of every dollar. So it appeared to me that the folks who are pushing this so-called Liberty Amendment have not really done very much digging to find out what the effect would be. I don't know whether they want to cut all of those payments to individuals, whether they want to cut national defense plus some of those payments to individuals, or whether they want to cut the 11 cents out of every dollar that goes in grants to state and local communities. But it appears to me that the kind of information that we should have when we start responding to messages of this sort.
Thank you, Senator Parr. Senator Rohde. Mr. State Affairs Chairman.
I move and ask unanimous consent to be given the privilege of the floor to read something from Dear Abby.
Without objection, you have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, during some of the proceedings, I was diverted by a certain headline here that I won't read. But a realtor writes to Dear Abby asking how realtors fare in a poll taken by Gallup, in which professionals and business people are rated as in terms of being most and least respected. And I just thought it might be interesting to know, to bring to your attention that the polls show that ministers were most respected, followed by pharmacists, dentists, MDs, engineers, college professors, even policemen, bankers, TV reporters, newspaper reporters, funeral directors, lawyers, stockbrokers, senators, that's U.S., business executive, building contractors, U.S. congressmen, local office holders, real estate dealers, union leaders, state office holders, followed only by insurance salesmen, advertising practitioners, and auto salesmen. Thank you.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, that was better than the poem that Governor Hammond printed about you in the paper. I don't know whether it advised you to be thankful or to sue. Mr. President, as every member of the body is aware, we will adjourn at 2 o'clock on Monday. Therefore, if there is no further business to come before the Senate, pardon? I'm sorry, convene at 2 o'clock Monday. If there is no further business to come before the Senate, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 2 p.m. Monday afternoon.
We adjourn. Have a good